Every Tuesday, we highlight a book. And today, the author is Alan Ziv. Good morning, Alan.
Alon.
I'm sorry, Alon.
Oh, that's okay.
It is spelled A-L-O-N, and we were all cursing your name in the other room for spelling Alan so stupidly. But it turns out it's Alon, so it's...
That makes perfect sense. It's spelled that way.
It's our bad.
All right, that's cool.
You have a book called Breeding Between the Lines, Why Interracial People Are Healthier and More Attractive.
That's right.
Now, you've been a biology teacher at UCLA. You've done research in the field of neuroscience, and you've got this book out now that says you ought to marry outside your race. How come?
That's right. Well, first, I'd like to say hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Ding.
Hey.
It's exactly right. I mean, you know, everyone knows that inbreeding is bad, that inbreeding produces children that are unhealthy and unattractive.
Right.
And this is just the exact opposite of that. Basically, the greater diversity of genes that you can give to your kids, the healthier they're going to be, the more attractive they're going to be, the more athletic they're going to be, the more fertile they're going to be.
Hmm. Okay. Have you been taking some flack on this from people?
Oh, yeah. Breeding Between the Lines just came out a couple of weeks ago, and so I launched my website, breedingbetweenthelines.com. And in the first 2 days, I got over 10,000 hits just from white supremacist websites.
Oh, yeah. This would make them crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were saying some ridiculous things. Apparently, I'm heading a Jewish conspiracy to destroy the white race.
You Jews.
Oh, man, the way you guys want to destroy the white race, that's crazy.
Would you please let up with destroying the whole race thing, please?
I can't believe how quickly they figured it out.
If you make enemies of them, you're doing something right.
That's exactly what I told myself.
Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Well, Alon, let me ask you a question. For millions of years now, it seems like the races have been mostly breeding amongst themselves, largely, I guess, because of geographic reasons, right? And it seems like they've existed fairly well and prospered. Why do you think all of a sudden now there's a need for interbreeding?
Well, exactly like you said, you know, for the most part, they have remained separate because of geographical barriers or religious barriers or various things like that.
And right.
Sure, things have been okay, but now the world is a much smaller place than it's ever been, and so it's a lot more feasible that you could marry someone of a different race, have kids, and those kids are going to benefit from that increased genetic diversity, as I mentioned.
And get away with it. In 1958, you say in your book, there were, what, 16 states this was illegal in?
Right, and, you know, it's interesting because in a lot of ways, we've come a long way since then. You know, until 1967, it was illegal to marry someone of a different race in 16 states, and you can probably guess which states those were.
Sure.
And then in 1967, those laws were declared unconstitutional. But some of those states still had them on the books, even though they were no longer enforceable. And so in 2000, Alabama was the last state that still had one of these laws on the books. And so they thought, you know, this is kind of a relic of our racist past. Let's get rid of it. They had a special election.
Wait a minute. You're saying let's get rid of Alabama?
Well,
I'd like to vote yes on that.
Because I'm in for that.
Here Alabama's trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get rid of this racist law that hasn't been enforceable for 33 years.
Right.
Special election in 2000. 40% of the state voted to preserve the law.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's what happens when you let the Alabamans vote. That's the problem.
That's what happens when you have inbreeding.
Tell us about the pelican brief and the example that you gave in your book, because that was fascinating to me.
Right. So what's interesting is that, you know, different groups are more accepting of interracial relationships than others, and African Americans are actually one of the most accepting groups.
Right.
But at the same time, the African American statistics are not even. Black men are three times as likely to marry a white person as a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this has caused some resentment among black women because they think that white women are kind of scooping up the most eligible black bachelors.
Right.
And so there's been kind of a backlash against these black man, white woman relationships. And I don't know if you guys remember the Pelican Brief, but, you know, Denzel Washington, Julia Roberts, a conspiracy to have them both silenced.
Right.
And, you know, every movie like that has a romantic backstory, but this one didn't. And I remember at the time thinking, this is kind of weird. Why aren't Julia Roberts and Denzel Washington making out? And later in an interview with Newsweek, Julia Roberts revealed that Denzel Washington asked to have those scenes taken out.
That they had done them. They had made out.
But exactly.
But he didn't want them included in the movie.
Right. And again, he denies this, but, you know, Hollywood scuttlebutt is that, you know, he's nervous about alienating his core audience of black women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't blame him for that. But apparently he did kiss a white woman in a previous movie, and during a test screening, just the black women in the audience started booing. And so
nice.
He's understandably nervous about alienating them.
But the truth is that black men do tend also to snap up all our really fat white women. So they're doing us a favor, really, in the long run, don't you think?
You know, I can't comment on that.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I'm sure you can. Did you hear the backlash against Survivor recently because they're splitting them down racial lines?
Right, right. I mean, it's a great publicity gimmick on Survivor's part because everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, we were out on the street in New York when this guy was yelling.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
And then we talked to him later, and we asked him a whole bunch of questions about it. And he just thinks that the races are going to get together and vote for their own race, and then they're going to start fights and all kinds of BS.
Right.
But you're saying marrying interracially is better for the kids. In what way is it better?
It's better in a lot of ways. And one of the core principles of my book, Breeding Between the Lines, is symmetry. And all of our bodies are supposed to be perfectly symmetrical. Your left hand should be a perfect mirror image of your right hand. But, you know, nobody's perfect, and some people get closer to that perfect symmetry than others.
Your left boob should be the same as your right boob?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you have a good set of genes, you're going to be closer to that symmetrical ideal. And so symmetry...
Like seven genes, you mean, or are you talking about what kind of gene?
Just...
G-E-N-E-S.
Yeah, not denim jeans, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
DNA.
Just press on, Alon. We can get through this, I swear.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
All right, now I'm with you guys.
Right.
So symmetry is a hallmark of good genes, and so it's associated with all kinds of great things. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, more healthy, more attractive, more athletic, more fertile. But, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, more symmetrical people and thus interracial people are more attractive, but the scientific studies are staggering. More symmetrical men lose their virginity 3 to 4 years earlier than more lopsided men.
Really, it doesn't have anything to do with looks per se, as just
right. It's just this is a subconscious cue that we pick up on. We see the symmetry of another person, and
really?
We know that it's a sign of genetic fitness, and we're really attracted to it.
So a woman says that guy's hands are the same size. I'm in.
Right, right. She's looking at his earlobes, his eyes, making sure they're on the same level, and she's thinking, "Wow, I'm drawn to this guy." More symmetrical men have 2 to 3 times as many sexual partners over their lifetime as lopsided men. And in this fascinating study at the University of New Mexico, they discovered that more symmetrical men were more than twice as likely to give their girlfriends orgasms during sex.
Yeah. There you go.
No,
I'm sorry, say that again?
No other variable was a predictor of her orgasm except his symmetry. It didn't matter how long they'd been together, you know, what they said their feelings of love for one another were, or even how much money he made. The one thing that predicted her likelihood to have an orgasm was how symmetrical he was.
But, Alon, let me ask you a question, because it seems like for all white people, for all Hispanics, for all black people, for all different races, they have the good and the bad. I mean, you have bad whites, you have bad Hispanics, you have bad whichever race you want to talk about, and if they get together, isn't that making things worse?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly bad genes are going to be bad, but the good thing about interracial marriage is that the good genes can cancel out the bad genes. So if you're getting one copy of a bad gene from one parent, you know, maybe you'll get a good copy from another parent that'll balance it out. Interracial people are less likely to have genetic disorders as a result, because usually to get a genetic disorder, you have to inherit 2 bad copies of the gene.
Right.
So you're saying in the instance of like an African-American couple where sickle cell anemia may be an issue, it would be lesser so if you were interbreeding with someone who was European descent or something like that.
Exactly. So if you have, one black parent and one Jewish parent, you know, your kid's not going to have sickle cell and your kid's not going to have Tay-Sachs.
Right, right.
You don't have to worry about that. And so you get this diversity of genes kind of provides a buffering effect. You end up a lot healthier as a result.
Isn't Brazil a country where there's been a massive intermarriage and you really can't tell anymore what races people are made up of?
It's, you know, I talk about Brazil in Breeding Between the Lines, and it's interesting because a lot of people predicted that Brazil would end racism because there has been so much mixing there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad that that's not the case. It's just now they have 150 groups instead of 5 groups. And there's this crazy census study that I talk about there where, you know, they ask you to list your race, and there really are about 150 categories. You know, it's like, is your skin more like the color of coffee or more like the color of a latte?
Really?
There's sort of a racial bias against people with darker skin there.
I was rooting for Brazil in the World Cup because all of the women from Brazil are hot.
Exactly.
They are just smoking hot.
Exactly. So they've experienced what I'm talking about firsthand. It's funny, yesterday I was listening to K-Rock, and I heard your promo for me being on the show, so I was pretty excited.
Uh-oh, was that good?
It was great.
I don't remember what we said.
And you mentioned the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger flap. And
right.
I just remember reading that story a few days ago, and I just saw the headline about, Governor Schwarzenegger describes a woman as very hot because of her mixed blood. And I thought, I cannot believe this. I've been researching this book for 5 years. I've been reading every academic journal out there. And I just got scooped by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger came out and, by the way, got slapped down.
Yes, yeah. Although when he said very hot, as I read the article, I saw that he meant, you know, more feisty than
right.
than sexy. So he was close, but no cigar.
Right, we're out of time, but what are your, one last question. What do other people in the field think of your work? Are you an outsider, or does everybody seem to be following you along?
Whenever you talk about race, you're an outsider. Mm-hmm. You know, the scientific community is pretty reluctant to talk about race. And I'm saying race is real. Mixing races is good, and interracial people have serious advantages. So there's a lot of controversy about it.
But it would seem, Alon, that this has been the case in animal husbandry in the animal kingdoms forever. Everyone just seems to know that when you mix breeds, you do get a stronger offspring. It would seem that, you know, in the bottom analysis, human beings are animals as well, would have to ring true, wouldn't it?
I completely agree, and you know, I've talked to dog breeders about this, and they say, "Oh yeah, well everyone knows that you know mutts live longer and
right.
you know have fewer health problems." But you start talking about people, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. All right, Alon Ziv is the name of the author. The book is called "Breeding Between the Lines: Why Interracial People Are Healthier and More Attractive." And one last question: can you hook me up with the model that's on the cover of your book?
I'll see what I can do.
She's pretty damn hot.
What is she, by the way? What's her mix? What's her race mix?
I haven't actually met her, but I believe she is half Filipino and half white.
Okay, yeah. We need more of that.
She does good work.
She's a very sexy woman.
We need more of that.
Yet another reason for people to check out the book.
That's right. Thank you, Alon. Breedingbetweenthelines.com is the website, or you can get it at Amazon.com. Thanks a lot, Alon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.